this is Dustin, and you're listening to episode 45 of Secret Grasp, a paranormal podcast about the strange and mysterious aspects of our world. So, in today's episode, I've got kind of like a two-in-one for you. We're going to be talking about some Mexican/Spanish folklore. The first topic I'm going to cover is the Chupacabra, and the second is La Llorona. I don't know if I'm going to pronounce that correctly or not. Spanish listeners, you can let me know. But we'll start off with the Chupacabra. So, in Spanish, the word chupar means to suck. You've probably seen like those chupa chup lollipops that are for sale. I guess those are Spanish. And then cabras means goats in Spanish. So literally, chupacabra is a goat sucker. It's a folklore from all over North and South America, but like not necessarily all over, but like Southern U.S. and all of South America. So I've heard conflicting reports that the first sighting might have been in the 1970s, and then I've also heard that they might have only started as recently as 1995 in Puerto Rico. So I don't know which one of those is true, but either way, Chupacabra is kind of like a more modern cryptid as opposed to some things like Bigfoot that go back like hundreds and hundreds of years. So the name, as you would expect, comes from basically, it's got like vampiric qualities. It'll literally attack and drink the blood of livestock. And they seem to especially like goats. The physical descriptions of a chupacabra vary. Some people say they're more dog-like. This is actually in the Southwest United States. This is more common. And if you're in like Latin America or Puerto Rico, they're more likely to describe them as alien-like or reptilian. Some people even say they look like a small bear that's got row of spines all the way from like its neck to its tail. And it's been reported as far north as Maine and as far south as Chile. Even outside of the Americas, there's been a couple of reports in the Philippines and Russia. But all of the reports have been basically just anecdotal. There hasn't been any evidence captured like with Bigfoot. You get the footprints, and sometimes there's like hair samples that people have got. They've never really got anything like that for chupacabras that proves anything one way or the other. There have been some sightings in Mexico and the Southwest U.S. that have logical explanations, but I'll save kind of like the skeptical take until the end of it. But basically, scientists think that it's just an urban legend, and they think they have a good explanation for it. So I think the confusion with the 1970s and the 1995 is that this phenomenon was happening in the 1970s, but I think the name Chupacabra wasn't coined until 1995. That's when they actually like had a word for what people were experiencing. So talk about some of the history, though. So in the 1970s, there was a series of livestock killings that started in a small town of Moca. I don't know what country that's in, but it's attributed to a vampire, basically. First, they thought that the killings were related to like a satanic cult. And then as more and more killings started happening around the island, farms had more and more animals getting killed. And these animals, they had like puncture wounds, and then the body was like totally drained of blood. But the first actual attack that was like specifically attributed to chupacabras was in 1995, and there was 8 sheep that were discovered dead in Puerto Rico. Each one had 3 puncture wounds in the chest area, and reportedly all the blood had been drained. And a few months later in August, an eyewitness reported seeing the creature in a town in Puerto Rico called Canovanas, where as many as 150 pets and farm animals were said to have been killed. And the term chupacabra was apparently coined by a Puerto Rican comedian named Silverio Perez. I don't know why a comedian was the one that had to do that, but yeah. So all over South America, these killings started spreading, and then eventually into the U.S. as well. In October and December 2018, there's actually a bunch of reports of suspected chupacabras in Manipur, India. Many of the attacks killed chickens, but they were killed in like a similar way to a chupacabra, with like the puncture wounds and all the blood drained. Several people said that they had seen chupacabras. However, there was no real evidence. They thought maybe it was just like dogs or something. And in October 2019, there was a video recorded by a guy named Mundo ovni that supposedly shows an attack of a chupacabra on chickens in Puerto Rico. So as you might guess, Puerto Rico seems to be the hot spot for this, where most of the chupacabra stuff goes on. So there was a guy, Benjamin Radford. He had a 5-year investigation that he documented in a book that he wrote in 2011 called Tracking the Chupacabra. He concluded that his description given by the eyewitnesses and like this alien creature that everybody saw was like cohesive. Everybody said that they saw kind of like the same thing. But yeah, they don't really trust the eyewitnesses on this one. The reports of blood sucking from the chupacabra were never confirmed by like an examination of the dead animals. The only way to conclude that an animal would be drained of blood. Analysis of a veterinarian of 300 reported victims of chupacabra found that they had not been blood dry. Also, they put the chupacabra reports into two categories. The reports from Puerto Rico and Latin America, where the animals are attacked, and supposedly their blood was extracted. And they separated that from the United States, where they think it's more like dogs. I'll get more into the dog theory later. And there's a biologist, Barry O'Connor, University of Michigan, in October 2010 that said all of the chupacabra reports were just coyotes. They were infected with a parasite called Sarcoptes scabii. I don't know if that's scabies or if that's a different thing. It just sounds like it. But apparently this would explain the reason that these dogs look messed up like chupacabras. So it would leave them with little fur, thickened skin, and they smell really bad, apparently. And they theorized the attacks on the goats happened because the animals were so weak. They had a hard time hunting for, like, wild rabbits or deers. So they think that they just went for farm animals because that would be the easiest way to go. Although several witnesses said that the attacks couldn't be the works of dogs or coyotes because they hadn't actually eaten the victim. Like I said, in these cases, just the blood was drained, which would be weird for like a dog or coyote to do. But yeah, there's these reports of basically Mexican hairless dogs that have been reported for chupacabras all over the place. So like I said, the appearance there, most commonly, they're said to be reptile-like in appearance. They have leathery, scaly, greenish-gray skin and spines running all the way down their back, and approximately 3 or 4 feet high. And it hops in a fashion similar to a kangaroo, which is another thing that kind of discredits the dog theory for me. You would have, like, a dog with mange, you wouldn't see it just hopping like a kangaroo. Another common description of a chupacabra is people say it looks like a strange breed of wild dog. It's hairless with a pronounced spinal ridge, usually pronounced eye sockets, fangs, and claws. Unlike the conventional predators, though, it drains the blood. So some people, I think, could be seeing just like a really starving dog that looks all messed up and is like missing hair. But yeah, I don't know. So the scientists think that it's just dogs, but I don't really buy that theory because I don't feel like wolves or coyotes or anything would just drain the blood. I've never heard of animals drinking blood like that, so it's weird. Then there's a few like related animals that are similar to a chupacabra as well. There's one called the Ozark Howler. This is like a large bear-like animal. It's an urban legend around the Ozark Mountains. There's Puchins of Chile that are similar. They're dog-like and they're described as winged snakes as well. So they may have been the origin of like the vampire bat myth and stuff like that. And then in the Philippines, there's another creature called a Sigbin, which is similar to the description of the chupacabra as well. But yeah, that's about chupacabra. We can talk about La Llorona as well. So in Mexican folklore, La Llorona is the weeping woman, the wailer. I think literally translated, it means crybaby when I typed it into Google Translate. But it's a vengeful ghost that roams waterfront areas, mourning for her children that she drowned. So Basically, the legend is there's this beautiful woman named Maria. She marries this like rich conquistador or ranch guy, who, depending on the time period. And then she had two kids with him. One day, she sees her husband with another woman, and then she goes into a blind rage, drowns both of her children in a river, and then she immediately regrets it. And since she can't save them and she's like super guilty, she ends up drowning herself too. But then because she like committed murder and stuff, she can't go into the afterlife. So she's forced to like roam the earth looking for her children. Then there's another version of the story where her kids are illegitimate and she drowns them because of that, because she doesn't want the father to take him away and raise him with a new wife. But there's like this, I guess there's like a whole bunch of different stories, but the recurring theme is basically she's got a wet white dress. She's like wailing and crying at night and is usually associated with being around water. So the legend of La Llorona is traditionally told throughout Mexico, Central America, and Northern South America. And sometimes it's also mixed with a legend of La Malinche. Don't know if I'm saying that one right. It's a woman who served as Cortez's interpreter and had a son with him. And she's considered both the mother of modern Mexican people and a symbol of national treachery for her role in aiding the Spanish and taking over North America. And stories of weeping female ghosts is common in folklore and a bunch of other cultures as well. They've been pointed out by skeptics that there's a similar Aztec mythology as well. And even Lilith in Hebrew mythology in the Bible. And there was a Florentine Codex, which is, apparently it's an important book that originated in late Mexico in 1519. And there's a quote in it that says, "The sixth omen was that many times a woman would be heard going along weeping and shouting. She cried loudly at the night, 'Oh, my children, we are about to go forever.' Sometimes she said, 'Oh, my children, where am I to take you?'" So the roots of the legend might be pre-Hispanic. Even the earliest reference is published in the 19th century poem by a Mexican poet, Manuel Carpio. And the poem makes no reference to killing the babies, though. Rather, La Llorona is just the ghost of a woman named Rosalina who was murdered by her husband and still roams the world because of that. And then in the southwestern United States, the legend is a little bit different. It's told to scare kids into good behavior, sometimes to keep them from playing near dangerous water. And also it's told to them that her cries are heard when she walks around the street or near bodies of water to scare children from wandering around. And yeah, that's pretty much it. There's also a mythological creature in Chumash mythology, which is the indigenous people in Southern California. It's called Nunasis. I don't know. And it's basically, it's a mythical creature with a cry similar to a newborn baby. I think that's one of those deceptive creatures that makes itself sound like a baby, and then it lures you in and kills you or something like that. But yeah, that's about it. My Mexican folklore that got the Chupacabra and the La Llorona. I'm sure there's others. Maybe like the Japanese episode, I'll try and get a whole bunch of them together and do another one. It's kind of cool to look into the folklore from around the world. But that's it for this one. Go ahead and like the podcast, follow on whatever platform you're listening on, and share it with a friend. Help us get out there. If you like it, I'm sure somebody else would too. And we'll see you in the next episode. Talk to you later.